الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم والصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ والصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ والصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلى آلک و اصحابک یا نور اللہ. ویلکم ڈیئر ویورز آف مدنی چینل. ایز یو نو اٹ از دا سلسلہ ان دا لائٹ آف قرآن. Before I start with the first question of today, let's listen to one of the excellences of reciting durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Aqa Alam sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated, anyone who recites once durood upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 times mercy upon him. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the verse number 153, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Translation, indeed Allah is with the patient. The viewers of Madhi channel, there are many questions regarding this small part of the verse of the Holy Quran. Musab, I want to ask that as it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the sabirin. So what is the meaning of this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with sabirin? Then the second thing, that it is said that this ma'iyat, this closeness is special, is exclusive for sabirin. So is it that it is exclusive for sabirin and it is not for any other people? How would you respond to these two questions?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the excellence of sabr, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned many excellences. There are many ayat. One of them you have recited, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Indeed, Allah is with those who show patience. So, Allah Azza wa Jal is with everyone according to His knowledge and according to His power and according to His some other attributes. And the meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal is with everyone means Allah Azza wa Jal knows everyone. Allah Azza wa Jal with everyone means Allah Azza wa Jal has power over every possible thing. And this meaning has been mentioned in the Quran again and again, many times, many verses. As in one place, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't you know that Allah knows whatever is in the earth and whatever is in the heavens? Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. So the summary of the ayah, that wherever any secret council of three people, Allah Azza wa Jal is their fourth. And wherever the secret council of five people, Allah Azza wa Jal is their sixth. Means Allah Azza wa Jal is with them. But in which meaning? In the meaning which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned before that and in the end of the ayah. In the beginning of the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The next of the ayah is the explanation of that. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows whatever is in the earth and whatever is in the heavens. Allah knows that. And now Allah Azza wa Jal is with everyone, whether they are three people or four people or six or seven. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. He is with them wherever they are. So in which meaning this verse is? In the meaning of the knowledge of Allah, that the knowledge of Allah encompasses all the people. Then in other ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُضُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Now the same word يَعْلَمُ is in the beginning of ayah. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows whatever goes into the earth and whatever comes forth from the earth and whatever descends from the heavens and whatever ascends into the heaven. And now Allah is mentioning, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. So because in the beginning of ayah, Allah mentioned His knowledge. It means, now here the word ma'iyat is in the meaning of ma'iyat of knowledge. He is with the entire universe according to His knowledge. So this kind of ma'iyat, this kind of closeness, this kind of company, you can say, this is for everything. Because Allah has the knowledge of everything and He has power over everything. Now what is special for the sabirin? Because when Allah has mentioned, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin, indeed Allah is with those who show patience. When Allah is with everyone, whether He shows patience or not, according to these two ayah. So now, what is the meaning of that particular ma'iyat which have been mentioned in this ayah? Inna Allah ma'as sabirin, indeed Allah is with those who show patience. It means that is special kind of ma'iyat, that is special kind of closeness. As Allah is with patient people, with His mercy, with His blessings, with His special bounties. So that is the meaning of that ma'iyat with sabirin. Now, the same ma'iyat, the same kind of ma'iyat have been mentioned in another ayah as well. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, Inna Allaha ma'al ladheena taqaw wal ladheena hum muhsinu. Indeed, Allah is with those who adopt piety and they are righteous. So, with righteous people, and with those people who are pious, who adopt piety, Allah Azza wa Jalla is with those. So for both kind of people, mean for with sabirin, with muhsinin, and with muttaqin, Allah Azza wa Jalla is with them, but in special meaning, with His mercy, with His blessing, with His bounties. And this kind of usage in our own language as well, as in our Urdu language, as in other languages, we use the word that I am with you. It doesn't mean that I am with you physically. Sometimes we speak these words and we mean that our support is with you. I am with you, you can go, you can do, and I am with you means my support is with you. Sometimes we use the same word for giving prayer. My prayers are with you. I am with you means my prayers are with you. Sometimes we say that I'm not unsatisfied or displeased with you. I am pleased with you. If you are doing that, if you are taking that decision, if you want to do that, so I am with you means I am pleased with you. So we use the same word in these meanings. So similarly, in ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that ma'iyat with sabirin, with muttaqin and with muhsinin, in that meaning that the blessings of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the bounties of Allah are with those people who show patience, who are pious and who are righteous people.
Subhanallah. So dear viewers of Madni channel, ma'iyat can be categorized into two categories. One is for common people, for everyone, and then the other one, which is the special ma'iyat, it is for sabireen and for muhsineen and muttaqleen. Moving to the next question, the very next ayah, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَن يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And say not of those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead. Nay, they are living, but you perceive it not. Musab, I want to ask two things here, that we just have mentioned sabr, and right after sabr, the very next verse is regarding the shuhada, the martyrs. So now the question is that, number one, what is the connection between the verse of sabr and this verse in which shuhada are being mentioned? And then the second thing is that they are called martyrs, and then they are also called in this ayat-e-mubarakah that they are alive. So what is the meaning of their life? How are they alive?
That is the beauty of Quran, that all the verses of the Holy Quran are interconnected. They are connected with each other. For example, as this topic is going on, from the subject of changing Qibla, after changing Qibla, then there were the ayat about sabr. Then after sabr, the ayat is about martyrdom. So what is the connection? The first thing was that when Allah Azza wa Jalla changed the Qibla, so the people of book, they raised questions, they objected. So then Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded believers to show patience. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Seek help through patience and prayer. So that was the connection, because the Muslims were hurt and they were objected by those people of book. So Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded them to show patience. Now when the matter of patience has been mentioned in detail, because there are many ayah, some ayah before this ayah, وَلَا تَقُولُ لُمَن يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ, and some ayah after that, about patience. So now Allah Azza wa Jal, in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has given the example of the best kind of patience. Because what is the meaning of patience? If a person is afflicted with a calamity or problem, so he should remain peaceful, he should remain calm, and he shouldn't say any evil word from his mouth. That is the meaning. So means being or remaining steadfast at the time of trouble, at the time of problem. That is the meaning of patience. Now the person who is striving hard in the path of Allah, and he knows that the way he is walking on, he might be killed, he might be martyred, he might be deprived of all the luxuries of life, the comforts of life, the convenience of life, but deliberately, knowingly, he is going to that path, the path of striving hard in the path of Allah. So he might be killed, he might be sacrificed, but he is ready for that. So because sacrificing life is the biggest kind of patience, so that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla has given this example and the excellences of martyrs after the ayah of sabr. Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah, inna Allah ma'as sabirin. So that is the connection. Means sabr is a particular topic, and being martyred in the path of Allah is the best example of that, showing patience. So that is the connection. Now, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Never say, for those people who have been killed in the path of Allah, they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, but you perceive not. So what is the meaning of that life here? So the meaning of this life has been mentioned in different words in the books of Tafsir. Some scholars have explained with these words that the life of shuhada, the life of martyr, is mentioned in the other ayah, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned again the life of martyr people. What is that? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَارِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. In this ayah we are talking about, so that is وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Never say, don't say to those people who have been killed in the path of Allah as dead. But the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Never think in your mind that they are dead. They are alive. But how are they alive? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They are alive with Allah. So before that, they were alive only in front of you. But now they have been given the special life in the court of Allah. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. The second, يُرْزَقُونَ. And they are provided provision. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning that they are alive with Allah and they are provided provision. So as you are in the need of risk in this world, but you earn, you gain that risk with your hard work, with your efforts, but that risk is being provided to them without any effort, without any hard working, just because of the blessing of Allah. And that is only the blessing of Allah over them, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is granting them. So بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. So they are alive with Allah in the court of Allah, and they are being provided provision. Then the second thing, the third thing, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, فَارِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. They rejoice in whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving them, is granting them by His bounty. So whatever Allah, whatever blessings and bounty Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving them, granting them, so they rejoice in those. So they are alive in that meaning. Mean they rejoice in the grant of Allah, in the blessings of Allah, in the bounties of Allah. So that is one meaning. The second meaning that ulama have mentioned, that because their reward is continuous, their good deeds are continuous. As we offer prayer, we do other good deeds, so our reward is continuous. We are gaining virtues from Allah Azza wa Jal. In the same way, those people who have been killed in the path of Allah, their reward is continuous. They are earning reward from the special court of Allah because they have set a pattern and they have set a path. And because of that path, the people are acting upon Islam, they are acting upon the commandment of Allah, and because of their efforts, and because of their sacrifice, and because of their martyrdom, Islam is alive, religion is alive. So because religion is alive because of them, so that's why whatever we do, because we Islam came to us and Islam reached us because of the efforts of those people. As for example, Sahaba Ikram, because they were martyred in the path of Allah, they were killed in the path of Allah, they sacrificed their life because of their sacrifices. We gained Islam, we accepted Islam, our forefather accepted Islam. So because of their efforts and martyrdom and sacrifice, we received Islam and we accepted Islam and we are acting upon Islam. So our reward is going to their credit as well. Our reward is going into their credit as well. So that is the meaning of their life. As we are alive and we are earning reward, in the same way, they are earning reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla and they are earning virtues from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The third thing that the scholar have said, that their soul and their bodies, their souls and their bodies have special link and connection with each other. And because of their special connection, sometimes we observe the dead bodies of these martyred people, these killed people. They have been killed. And like other people, they died. But their bodies remain safe. There is no changing in their body. Like the other dead bodies, as the earth eats their body, their flesh, their skin. But the skin, the flesh, the body of these martyred people remain safe. So that is the meaning of bal ahyaun. But they are alive. They are alive according to this world as well, as their bodies are safe.
Reviews of Madni channel. What a wonderful answer from Mufti Sahab. And then Mufti Sahab also elaborated what is the meaning of life of Shuhada. Ulama-e Kiram have given three different meanings, three different explanations to this verse, and all of them are correct on their place. Number one, they are alive like us, physically enjoying the rizq which is being provided to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we are enjoying in this life with our physical body, they are also enjoying with their physical body in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second meaning, that they are alive because the reward of their actions is continue. Continuously they are receiving the reward or the sawab which is being written in their nama amal with the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, Mufti Sahab gave the third meaning, that when their bodies are put into their graves, so earth, soil can't eat their bodies. Usually what happens when a dead body is inside the grave, after a few days it starts decomposing. But it is not the case with martyrs. It is not the case with shuhada, that they are the special bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are being treated with special treatment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us this kind of blessed status in His court. Moving to the next question, Musab, we discussed that they are alive. Now what happens that when someone is alive, so obviously when husband is alive, so his wife is not allowed to get married with someone else. As long as father is alive, so mostly it happens that they don't distribute their inheritance to their legal heirs. So my question is that what happens after the martyrs, after the shuhada? Are we allowed to marry their women off to someone else, or are we allowed to distribute their inheritance? If we are allowed, then they are still alive. So how can we marry off their women with someone else, and how can we distribute their inheritance towards others?
Sharia ruling is well known in this regard, that the wives of martyrs, so they get married after the death and after passing the period of Iddah, and their wealth is distributed. So the ruling is clear. So now, how can we say they are alive, but on the other hand, we are distributing their wealth as inheritance? So basically, life is two kind, as we know. One is visible and the other is invisible. All these commandments, that without getting talaq, a woman can't get married with someone else, that commandment is about visible life. As long as a person has visible life, which we observe, So all these commandments apply. But when a person has passed away or he has been killed, so according to rules regarding this world, all the other commandments will apply. Their woman can marry, their wealth must be distributed as inheritance. So that is the difference of those two kinds of life. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, Bal ahyaum inda rabbihim. Because their life, you are unable to perceive. You are unable to imagine properly how is their life. So that's why the worldly commandments and worldly ruling regarding their life and death would be applied. But along with that, we will believe and we believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them life. So that is the difference of those two kinds of lives.
Subhanallah. Acha Musa, they are alive. They are enjoying, you know, with physical body. So my question is that when this thing is proved by Quran and Sunnah for Shuhada, so can we prove this thing for Anbiya as well? Are there some proofs in Quran and Hadith which support this thing that not only Shuhada, but Anbiya, they are also alive and they are also enjoying in their graves?
About prophets, the whole Ummah has ijma. They are consensus upon the life of prophets, even after their this worldly departure from this world. So they are alive, and that has been mentioned in Ahadith, and that has been mentioned in the books of most of the scholars of Islam. As for example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, Inna Allah harrama ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya, fa nabiyullahi hayyun yurzaq. Indeed, Allah has prohibited soil and earth to eat the blessed bodies of prophet. So the Prophet of Allah is alive and he is provided sustenance. فَنَبِيُّ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. Then even from Quran, the same thing has been mentioned. As we have discussed about martyrs, they, when they are killed, so their wives can get married after the passing of the Ida period. But about the Prophets of Allah, the commandment is different. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. O believers, you are not allowed, you are never allowed to marry the wives of Prophet after his departure. About martyrs, their wives are allowed to get married, but the wives of Prophets are not allowed to get married because their life is stronger and their life is higher than the life of martyrs. Then, as when we read the journey of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the journey of Mi'raj, so in that journey there are many ahadith from which it appears and it is proven that all the prophets are alive. As for example, in Muslim Sharif there is hadith, and in the Sahih Sharif as well, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on Mi'raj Sharif, so during his journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed near the grave of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Marartu bi qabri Musa wa huwa qa'imu yusalli fi qabrihi. I passed by the grave of Musa alayhi salam and he was offering prayer standing. I mean, he was standing and he was offering prayer. So now see, whose quality is standing? A body stands, a body offers prayer, not only soul. Soul and body both, they offer prayer, they stand, they offer prayer. And what is buried in grave? Body. And particularly about Prophet's body with soul. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is passing by the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he observed that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is in his grave and he is offering prayer while standing. So that is a very clear proof for the life of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then another stories and another ahadith about the journey of Miraj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Masjid Aqsa and he led in prayer, Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam recited Iqama and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led in prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leader, he was imam in prayer, and behind him all the prophets from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the journey of Miraj by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was not in sleep, that was in wake. And that journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only through his soul, that was his body and soul. Means with his physical body, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on that journey of Miraj. So when on Musalla there is body and soul, the blessed body and soul of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so who are behind him? All the prophets, they were with their blessed bodies and souls. So all the prophets were in Masjid-e-Aqsa and they offered prayer behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were alive, so that's why they offered prayer behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is another hadith in the proof of the lives of prophets alayhimus salatu wasalam. So through all these ahadith, it has been proven, and that's why our scholars, they have written particular books regarding that. As Allama Suyuti rahmatullah, he has written a particular book about the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allama Behki rahmatullah, Allama Behki, he is a Shafi muhaddis, and he has written a particular book about the life of prophets, and he has approximately 40 ahadith he has mentioned in that book about the life of the prophets, and particularly about the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why that is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, that is the belief of the majority of Muslims, that the prophets are alive in their graves, and when we send salam, we recite salatu salam, so they listen to our salatu salam. As it has been mentioned in ahadith as well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in many places, when you recite salawat upon me, so I listen to your salatu salam. And in one hadith in Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hatta Arudda alayhi salam. Whenever a person recites salawat upon me, he sends salat upon me, so I return his salam. Means I say him salam in response. So from these ahadith, our scholars have proven that all the prophets are alive in their graves, and their life is higher than the lives of martyrs.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, indeed all the prophets, they are alive in their graves, and subhanallah, their life is much more higher than the lives of the martyrs. Allahu Akbar. And Mufti Sahab gave many wonderful ahadith from which we can understand that Anbiya, they are alive in their graves. Moving to the next question, verse number 155, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Translation, and certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits. So Musab, fear, hunger, then loss of wealth, loss of lives and loss of fruits. So what is the meaning by all these things?
Basically, as Allah Subhanahu has commanded us to show patience and to remain patient in all the calamities, in all the problems, so now in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given some examples, you can say. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Five things have been mentioned here. The first is khawf, fear. The second is hunger. And the third is the loss of properties and wealth and anfus, the lives. So basically, mostly the problems what we face in our lives, mostly they are the problems which we face in our life. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has, you can say, in detail those problems in front of us. These would be the problems, and I'll test you through these problems. For example, as the matter of fear is concerned, so as Allah Azza wa Jalla tests us, do we have fear of Allah in our heart, and do we act upon according to that fear? As because of the fear of Allah, we should abstain from sins, we should follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we should abstain from all kinds of sins, wadharu zahir al-ithmi wa batina, whether that is zahir sins or batin sins, so we have to avoid and we have to abstain from. So if we have that fear of Allah in our hearts, it means we are successful in that fear, we are successful in that test, because that was the commandment of Allah, to have fear in our hearts, and we have that fear. So that is one kind, but that is in the form of commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The other same thing is in the form of Sharia commandment. For example, fear from the oppressors, if we preach them, if we invite them towards any virtue, if we forbid them from sins, we know they are oppressors, they are rulers, they have power, they have authority, they can tease us, they can hurt us, they can punish us, and they can afflict many problems to our life. But in spite of that, we are conveying the message of Allah to them, we are preaching them, we are trying to make them understand, we are forbidding them from sins. So now, though that fear is worldly fear, but that fear is for the fear of Allah, because of the fear of Allah. That fear is for Islam. That fear is for conveying the message of Allah. So that fear is also in the form of commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Means if that kind of fear happens in our life, but we shouldn't leave acting upon the commandment of Allah regarding Amr bil Maru wa Nahyun Anil Munkar. Now, sometimes the worldly fear could happen. Sometimes we have fear about our wealth, sometimes about our lives, sometimes we have fear of people, but not for any religious purpose, just because they are oppressors and they oppress the people, so because of that they can oppress as well. So that fear is not for the sake of Allah, but that fear is fear. And in that fear, if we remain patient and if we don't say any evil word from our mouth, so that would be test from Allah, and in that way we could be successful in that fear as well. So fear could be in the form of commandment of Allah, as fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. That fear might be for the sake of Allah, for the preaching of Islam, and that fear might be from the people just in the form of oppression, in the unjust and injustice. So in all kinds of fear, Allah Azza wa Jal might test us. He may test us, and we have to be successful in that. So that is that test is in the form of fear. Now, in the form of hunger. Hunger could be in the form of observing fast, as in the month of Ramadan Mubarak, in summer season or in winter season, but particularly in summer season, those are more difficult. But if we are observing fast, even in the weather of summer and in the month of Ramadan, so now we are forbearing hunger for the sake of Allah. That hunger is our test. And Allah Azza wa Jal is testing us through that hunger. He has commanded us, and now we are fulfilling His commandment. We are avoiding that, we are leaving that, and we are not observing. No. If we are observing fast, even in summer season, in the month of Ramadan, it means we are successful in that test. Then, other than Ramadan Mubarak, many other kinds of fastings, as Nafl fasting. So in Rajab, in Shaban, on every Monday, so we can observe fast, whether that is summer season or winter season. So if we are observing those fasts, so that is also test through hunger, and we are getting successful in that test as well. So that is in the form of religious commandment, that is in the form of religious duty. But other than that, might be that hunger was because of some worldly reason, and we are not hungry because of any particular religious commandment. Without that, we are deprived of food. We don't have food to eat. We don't have water to drink. We are on journey, or we are at our home, but because of poverty, so we are deprived of foods. So now that time, hunger is hunger. That is test. So now if at that time we are showing patience, it means we are successful in that test as well. In the test of hunger, we are successful. And you know how many people are in this test in this world, even at the moment, at this time, how many people are in that test? In African countries, in this subcontinent and in other countries, how many people, they are deprived of food? They are surviving below the line of poverty.
Allah.
They are deprived of food. Sometimes, really, even in our surroundings, we know the children, they die because of hunger. They die because of weakness. Because their mothers, when they are pregnant, they are not provided proper food. So because of that, those children are too much weak. And because of those weakness, they can't face the diseases and the diseases of childhood. So they die, they pass away. Why? Because of that hunger. So that hunger is in this form as well. And we have been commanded to feed these people. It'amu miskin. That's the particular commandment of Sharia. To feed the poor people, the destitute people who are deprived of food. So that test could be in the form of this hunger. And we might be afflicted with this hunger. Sometimes we are on journey and, for example, we don't have any penny in our pocket. So at that time, we might be tested through that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us, already, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We will definitely test you through fear and hunger. Now, the other thing, وَنَقْسِمْ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. نَقْسِمْ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, that might be in the form of religious responsibility or duty as well. As we have been commanded to give zakah, to give in charity. So what is that? Apparently that is a loss of wealth, because we are giving our property, our wealth, without any worldly benefit. We are giving to any poor person, to any destitute person. So that is a loss of wealth. But because that is the commandment of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal tests us through this loss of wealth. So that might be in this form. Then to sacrifice animals at the time of Eid al-Adha, that is another test through the loss of wealth. Then in Sadaqat al-Fitr, on Eid day, we have to give Sadaqat al-Fitr. So that is another test in the same form. Then other than that, might be the loss of wealth is because of any worldly matter. As for example, someone has robbed us, so someone has snatched our mobile or something else. So that is loss of wealth, that is loss of property. So that is test from Allah Azza wa Jalla to us. So we might be tested in the form of religious responsibilities, or we might be tested through this kind of difficulties. So that was naqsim min al amwali wal anfus. Anfus could be taken in two meanings, and Mufassirin have mentioned both. For example, our close relative passes away, so that is a loss of life. Sometimes father passes away, sometimes happens mother passes away, sometimes other any close relative, they pass away. So that is the loss of life. Then what samarat? So Imam Shafi Rahmatullah has mentioned about samarat, that samara here is in the meaning of sons, because son is the fruit of heart, that he is the fruit of heart. So if the son of someone passes away, so that is test from Allah Azza wa Jal in the form of taking his samara, taking his son. And other than that, so might be the fields are burned, or any other calamity occurs to the fruits or to the fields or to the gardens of someone, and he loses his garden, he loses his fields. So that is another kind of test. So these are some examples which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given here, that we will definitely test you either in this form or in that form or in that form or in that form. Now there is a question. When Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to show patience in any kind of matter, in any case, you will have to show patience. Ista'inu bi sabri wa sala. Is enough. But because you know the matter of sabr is very hard, that is very difficult. The matter of shukr, that is not like showing patience, like sabr. Because shukr is after the blessings, after mercies, after bounties, after the comforts, after convenience. So that is not so difficult. But the matter of sabr is very difficult. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal in detail these forms of sabr. You might be tested in this form, you will have to show patience. You might be tested through hunger, you will have to show patience. You might be tested through fear, you will have to show patience. So because we have less patience, we might have more shukr in our heart, but we have less patience in our heart. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal has in detail those forms in which we have to show patience.
Subhanallah, dear viewers of Madni channel, the whole life for a Muslim sometimes is a test. And this test is actually what? A Muslim, when he is going through all these tests, he is actually attaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you are, you know, in a disease, but you are making sabr. Subhanallah. So at that time, if you remind yourself that inna Allaha ma'as sabireen, indeed Allah is with the patient, and you are also one of them. So subhanallah, this is the time to have the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are different forms in which a Muslim is being tested. As Mufti Sahab have mentioned in the light of this verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. So all these things can become test for us. Sometimes a test comes in the form of hunger. Sometimes a test comes in the form of fear. and then sometimes it is in the form of loss of property or wealth, in the form of loss of lives, or in the form of loss of fruits. So on all these moments and occasions, a Muslim is required to show patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to become real sabir if we are in any calamity. Inshallah, we will come again with the new silsila. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Qur'an, Qur'an.